Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 again, please, for a Bible study tonight on the doctrine of prayer. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear." Go to Luke chapter 18, please, in verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, if you will. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now look at James chapter 5, please, if you will. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16. In James chapter 5 and in verse 16, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." Now watch the latter portion of the verse, please. The Bible says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, just in review, last week we talked about how prayer is asking. We talked about how prayer should be directed towards God. We talked about how our prayers ought to be always in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I told you about Dr. Rice. Dr. Rice would pray, and sometimes Dr. Rice would pray in Jesus' name, and sometimes he would leave it off, and he would not pray in Jesus' name. And one day somebody came to Dr. Rice and said, "Well, how come you pray sometimes in Jesus' name, and how come sometimes you don't pray in Jesus' name?" He said, "When I pray in Jesus' name, I know it's according to the will of God the Father. When I don't pray in Jesus' name, it might be according to the will of John Rice." He said, "But when you pray and you know it's the will of God the Father, you can always pray in Jesus' name." We see here that our prayers ought to be offered up through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means that we ought to be led by God the way that we pray. We ought not pray selfishly, but we ought to pray according to the will of God. Then most people, the reason they don't get their prayers answered is simply because they don't pray. They just don't pray. Praying Hyde would pray about everything. I told you about Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday would be riding the car with Ma Sunday. And all of a sudden, he'd be speaking to God one moment. The next minute, he'd be speaking to his wife. And in one moment, speaking to God. The next minute, speaking to his wife. And his wife said, "I never could figure out when the conversation would change." Now, that's the way it ought to be. You and I ought to be on speaking terms with God. So how is it that we come to God? I said, statement number one, we come to God boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace. The word boldly there does not mean that you rush into his presence. Doesn't mean that at all. It's not a football term, if you will, where you're rushing to tackle somebody that has the ball. But rather, the word boldly here means usual speech. It means, if you would please, that which is a casual conversational speech. And so when we come to God, we're supposed to come with it. You've heard people do this, and I often wonder why they pray that way. I often wonder, do they pray that way to impress the ears of men? But you've heard people get up behind the platform and they pray, "O thou God in heaven, I wish that thee would," and all these, but they don't talk to their wife that way, and they don't talk to their children that way, and they don't talk to anybody else that way. And that's not the Bible way to pray. The Bible way to pray is to come to God boldly, which means usual speech. All right. Then we're supposed to come to God as a beggar. I gave you the illustration about the one that had a friend that came to his house late at night. And he was somebody, if you would please, that was coming, and he was wanting bread. So what did this man do? First off, he said, "I'm not going to come down. My children are in bed with me, and go away." And so we learned, of course, a practice of years ago would be that the mom and the dad would sleep in the center of the bed, and the youngest boy would sleep beside dad, the youngest girl would sleep beside mama, and it would go all the way out. Traditionally, that's the way that they would sleep. And so now you understand, when he said, "My children are in bed with me," he did not want to be disturbed, because after all, it's very, very hard. And by the way, some of you parents need to practice that lifestyle this very day and have all your children sleep in bed beside you. But come as a beggar. So he said, "I can't come down." He said, because of your importunity, because of your consistency, because of your not giving up, he said, "I will come down." And of course, in that same verse there, it talks about asking and asking and asking and seeking and seeking. and knocking and knocking. All right? Then we're supposed to come to God as a child. God uses the terminology that we're supposed to come to him. And by the way, uses the terminology, which is a very intimate term where it says Abba, Father. All right? So we're supposed to come to him as a child would come to a father. And noteworthy, God never, never talks to us or instructs us or leads us as adults. Never in the Bible do you see that you're treated as an adult, because you're always going to be God's children. You see where it says children of the light. You see where it talks about little children, and it talks about young children. Then it talks and uses the terminology in the general sense of children. So God never wants you to grow up so much that you do not rely on him, that you do not come to him for wisdom. All right. And so we're supposed to come to him as a child. Then we saw that we're supposed to come to God as a friend. The Bible says that God spoke to that which is Moses, and Moses to God. Face to face as a friend speaketh to a friend. And so you're supposed to come to God as a friend. Boy, you ever learned that? That helped you tremendously. Being able to come to God and treat God as a friend with great respect now. Great respect. Friends do respect each other and honor each other in each other's presence. But yet, we're supposed to come to God as a friend. Well, let's notice some other verses tonight as we talk about some prayer promises. You can turn to them if you wish. I'm going to read them off quite quickly. But if you want to catch a couple of them, you may. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And so we see there's a prayer promise there. What's the prayer promise? We're supposed to go to God and believe. And God said, when you go and you believe, that whatsoever you ask, believing, ye shall have them. John chapter 15 and verse 7. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. All right, so God said, there's a conditional clause there, by the way. Whenever you read the word if, that's a conditional clause. Now, what does that mean? That means it's up to you. It's up to you. You may come to God or you may not come to God. But God said, if you do come to me, here's what I would do for you. All right? So it's based on the condition of what you choose to do. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So two things. You abide in him. His words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So God said there's two things. It's conditional now. It's always conditional. Whenever you see the word if, it's conditional. And God said these are the conditions. You have to abide in me and my words abide in you. And then when you come to me, I will answer. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Now watch what it says. That if, again, there's that conditional clause. There's that, if you would please, up to you. If you want to do this or not. He says, now watch it again. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, it says, according to his will, he heareth us. All right, so now wait a minute. Here's what God says. God said that if we come to him and we ask, and he uses a phrase there, according to his will. Now, we always ought to desire to do the will of God. Always. You know, so many times, here's what we do. We condition God on how God, and you limit him, really. You limit him. You condition God on how and why you want your prayers answered in a certain way. And if God doesn't come into your little forum and your little, if you would please, little area and come into that place of answering it the way that you want it answered, then you're not happy. Whatever happened to finding happiness in the will of God? Whatever happened to, you know, we're strange people, you know that? Here's what we do. We look for the nicest place. We look for the nicest restaurant. We look for the nicest bed. We look for the nicest hotel. And come on. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with niceness, but you listen to me. You cannot base God's will on comfort. If that would be true, there'd be no missionaries. If that would be true, then nobody would go to the regions beyond and sleep in a hut someplace and try and reach those boys and girls and teenagers and men and women for Christ that live in a jungle. You cannot base the will of God. Well, I tell you what, preacher, I know it's the will of God if I'm happy. I know people living in the will of God that's not happy. The will of God has nothing to do with your happiness. The will of God has nothing to do with your personal enjoyment or fulfillment. The will of God has everything to do with your obedience. Now, your obedience might bring, if you would please comfort, and your obedience might bring a little bit of joy, and I'm all for that. But understand tonight, you cannot base the will of God on the things that you see. Well, it must be the will of God. No, that's a name it, claim it type of junk. That's not true. That is not true. You know, sometimes the will of God is not happy. By the way, if you're not careful, you'll become a compromiser simply because of the fact you want to live in a comfort zone. But may I remind you, please, the disciples did not live in a comfort zone. And they sacrificed. And most of them were martyred for their faith. All right? And so listen to it. Here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. The Bible says, in whom we have boldness. Now, by the way, that same word, boldness, is talking about the same thing that we were talking about earlier. It's talking about you come with a normalcy. There's no shield there. Hey, you ever get around somebody, and maybe you have, but have you ever gotten around somebody and just by being around them, they make you feel tense? They make you feel uptight. Now here's what God says. God says that you are supposed to come to him and you're not supposed to feel uptight about it. You're supposed to come to him and not feel tense about it. See, he wants that intimate relationship with you. All right? Now, here's what he says. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, in whom we have boldness, it says in excess, with confidence by faith in him. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So he can answer prayer. By the way, he can answer prayer in a bigger way and a broader way than you ever prayed. How many of you ever done this? You prayed for something and God gave you not just what you prayed for, but more. Sure. Now, you know why he's doing that? He's doing that to show you that he can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think. We have a big God. Listen to it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. We're talking about prayer promises tonight. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 7 verses 7 and 8. And of course, we talked about this just a few moments ago. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it is open. Now, by the way, that's in a perpetual state of being, which means this. It's always continual, never ending. Always continual, never ending. A perpetual state of being. Now, what does that mean? That means it's not a one-time ask, and it's not a one-time seek, and it's not a one-time knock. What that means, it's a continual asking, a continual seeking, and a continual knocking. You say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Okay, why don't you put the word yet behind it? Don't give up so quick. Well, God answered my prayer, but it just seems like it's forever getting here when they don't stop praying. And you just keep asking him to speed it up. Nothing wrong with that. Look, you are his child. He is your father. Now, treat it that way. Treat it that way. You know, come on. You're not in some foreign religion. You are in a relationship with the Creator God. Don't limit him. You know, you ever read that verse over in the Old Testament where it says that Israel has limited the hands of God? It wasn't God that limited himself. It was Israel. You know why they limited him? Through disobedience and unbelief. Now, it's important for us to understand there is no limitation on God. There is no limitation on God. God is bigger than your dreams. God is bigger than your prayers. God is bigger than anything that you could ever imagine in your life. And so don't limit him by your little mind and your little thinking that because he is so far away. Well, first off, he is not so far away. Hello? There needs to be that intimacy there, all right? You'll find some verses in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Oh, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Listen to what it says here. It says, therefore, it says, come boldly, it says, before the throne of grace. That's with usual speech, common tone. It says that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. So he says, whenever you need something, you come to him. And by the way, we do that, don't we? But shamefully speaking, most of the time, that's the only time we come to him. You know, I mean, all of a sudden we need something, and it's a great thing that we need. We go running to God the Father, but what about running to him for something little? Peter Cartwright, old-fashioned preacher that used to travel, and he was on his horse one day, and Peter Cartwright just finished up a meeting, and he got off his horse and decided to water his horse over in the water hole, and his horse he put over there by the water hole, and he decided to dip his head down. He decided to get a little bit of water too, and then he went back, and he sat underneath an oak tree, and he fell asleep, and that horse was still down there by the pond, and he looked up, and he heard something growling. It was a big old grizzly bear, and so he thought, oh, dear God, it's going to kill my horse. If it kills my horse, I can't make it to the town. Can't make it to the town. I have to sleep in the woods. And so he started to pray earnestly. Oh God, oh God, oh God, God of heaven, God of Jacob, Isaac, and oh God, would you please answer my prayer? And God removed that big old bear. Boy, he rejoiced, got on that horse, rode it into town, found himself a nice inn, got himself a room in the inn, went into the room, laid down on his bed, and there was a mosquito. Boy, that mosquito swirled all over his face and bit him here and bit him there and just buzzed all around it. You could hear those little bitty wings just going this way and that way. You know how irritating that is if you ever slept in the woods. And boy, you know, that mosquito just irritating the fire out of him. 1 hour went by, 2 hours went by, 4 hours went by, 5 hours went by. He gets up the next morning, couldn't sleep a wink, goes over bloodstained eyeballs, looks into the mirror and begins to chuckle. He said, I had enough faith to trust God to get rid of the bear, but I didn't have enough faith to trust God to get rid of the mosquito. See, God wants us to pray about little things too, not just the big things. He cares about you. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it says, let your requests be made known unto God. Then Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. All right, so there's some prayer promises that God gives us. Statement number 6, where are we supposed to pray at? Is there a certain place? Well, listen to your Bible. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. All right, so we're supposed to pray everywhere. What's that mean, preacher? That means you're supposed to pray in school, rule or no rule, if you're in the public school. That means you're supposed to pray at work. Now, listen to me. Don't steal from your boss or from your company. Don't become holier than thou. And you sit there and, you know, you're praying and you know, they're saying, well, when are you going to get your work done? Don't bother me. I'm walking with God. Well, they're going to let you walk with God right out the back door. You know, all right, but pray everywhere. You can pray anywhere. You can pray at home. You can pray anywhere. You can pray while driving down the road with your eyes open. You can pray. All right, and so pray anywhere. All right, then Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, says, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray thy Father in secret. All right, so God says that you're supposed to pray privately, enter into your closet. Don't be like the Pharisees. Stand on a street corner and dress up in some prayer type of cloth, and you stand out there and you start to holler up into the heavens so that everybody can give you accolades of praise. Don't do that. Enter into a private chamber and pray. By the way, I preached in many mountain churches all along Kentucky, all up through the hills of Tennessee. Boy, I preached in many mountain churches. And did you know there's some mountain churches that you preach in, churches, if you would please, that's in the hilly areas or out to, in a country region. Hey, listen to me. And what they'll do is they'll call. I remember the first time I ever went to Harold Seitler's church. And Dr. Seitler, he said, okay, it was on Wednesday night. He said, okay, it's time to pray. And all the men came down. I thought, man, this is wonderful. All these men, spiritual giants, glory to God, amen, we're going to go down and pray. And we went down the front to pray, and every man prayed out loud all together. All right? Now, wait a minute. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but I will tell you something. It is confusing. And if you're not careful, listen to me, you do it to impress somebody else. I prayed in some of those meetings, and some men try to get louder than other men's that's praying, and some men try to use other words that's greater than the words of the guys praying beside, and try to get more spiritual. And they try to impress the brethren. Now, I'm not saying that that is wrong, but I'm saying a Bible precedent is to pray in private. You know why? Because there's nobody there to impress. Come on. There's nobody there. It's going to give you accolades of praise because you quoted one more verse than they did. All right. Everywhere supposed to pray. Privately, we're supposed to pray. In church, good place to pray. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, the Bible says, it says two men went up into the temple to pray. It says one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. All right. And so in church, that's a pretty good place to pray. Now make sure you do it right in church, but it's a pretty good place to pray. Psalm 26 and verse 12, the Bible says, it says, my foot standeth, it says, in an even place in the congregation will I bless the Lord. And so he came into the congregation. He came into the temple place and he prayed in the presence of others. All right. So there's some prayer promises to note. There's where are we supposed to pray? And then always think about this. When are we supposed to pray? When are we supposed to pray? When is a good time to pray? Well, just to give you an idea, in a public school, they say you ought not to pray, but you see certain things, like if there's an atomic bomb attack, now we lift the ban and everybody can pray. All right? But God tells us when to pray. God tells us when to pray. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the parable there. The Bible says, spake parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. All right. So God says we're always supposed to pray. So pray about everything. Pray about everything. Come on. Look, it would not hurt you even to pray about what you're supposed to wear. It would not hurt you about praying where you're supposed to live. It wouldn't hurt you about praying when you get ready to go on a trip. Pray with your family before you go on a trip. Pray for guidance. That's not wrong. That's more right than wrong. You know, pray about the influence you can have on somebody. Pray about God's power coming on your life. If we had more preachers that would learn to pray, we'd have less powerless preachers. But it's important that we understand God said to always pray. Well, he gives specific notation too. Over in Psalm 5 and in verse 3, the Bible says, it says, my voice, it says, shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. All right, so God says in the morning time. So when you get up in the morning, that's a pretty good time to pray. That's a pretty good time to pray. Now don't do this. Your wife says, honey, it's time to get up. Alarm clock's gone off 5 times. And dear, if you don't get up, you're going to be late for work. Now get up, honey. I mean, that alarm clock, oh, there it goes again. That's the 6th time. Now get, don't turn over and say to your wife, no, honey, leave me alone, I'm praying. Don't do that. Don't you, I had a secretary one time, and I would come out, and this is when I was at Union City Baptist Temple. And Mrs. Dyer could attest to the fact that she did this several times. She'd get tired. And so she'd close her eyes. She'd be typing and she'd get tired. And I'd come out and I'd say, Mrs. Dyer, are you sleeping? And she'd say, oh, no. I'm just praying for you, preacher. I'm just praying for you. All right. And so now I'm saying statement number one, always pray in the morning time. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 55 and verse 17 says evening and morning and at noon, it says, will I pray and cry aloud and he will hear my voice. All right. So God says evening, morning and at noon. So we're supposed to pray always. We're supposed to pray in the morning time. We're supposed to pray at noon. Now, that's talking about more than just praying for your meal. That this is talking about a set aside time. It's a set time that's been set aside for you to pray specifically. All right, so God says in the morning, at noon. Then it says in the evening. The Bible says evening and morning and at noon. Psalm 55 again in verse 17. So here was times where people prayed. They prayed always. They prayed about everything. They prayed in the morning time, prayed at noon. They prayed in the evening time. Well, how often did they do that? Psalm 86 in verse 3, the Bible says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Daily. So they prayed daily. They didn't skip a week. Amen. Well, I'm not going to talk to you, God, today because I'm so busy. Well, the reason that you're so busy is because you've not talked to God. Well, that's convicting, isn't it? Old preacher years ago, he said, somebody asked him, said, why in the world you get up at 4:30 every morning, you pray for 3 hours. Why in the world you do that? Why in the world you do that? Aren't you busy? He said, I'm so busy, I've got to get up at 4:30 in the morning and pray because I need God's help all through the day. All right? And so it's important that we pray daily. The Bible says in Psalm 88, verse 1, the Bible says, it says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. All right? So it's a continuation there. All right, here's what we've seen tonight so far. We've seen some prayer promises. We've seen where we're supposed to pray. We've seen when we're supposed to pray. Now let's look at some conditions tonight as we get ready to close it down. Conditions of prayer. Look at, I want you to see these. I'll take my time reading them if you take your time and turn to them. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. We're talking about conditions of prayer. All right, we're supposed to pray in the will of God. The Bible says, and he searcheth, it says the hearts, and knoweth, it says what is in the mind. It says of the Spirit, the Bible says, because he maketh intercession for the saints. So watch this last phrase there of that verse where it says according to the will of God. All right, so we're supposed to pray in accordance to the will of God. Well, how do you know what the will of God is, preacher? Well, you can find out the will of God from the Word of God. You know you can find out the will of God of your parents by their commands. By the principles they live by, you can find out the will of God from your parents. What is the will of God? Or what is, well, okay, let's change the terminology. What is the will of my parents? They let you know what the will is. How they speak it. They tell you. Well, how do I know the will of God? He speaks it through his written word. He tells us. And by the way, please get this. This is so good. Until we obey the written word of God, God does not lead us in other directions as it being more easily seen. The more you spend time with somebody, the more you get to know their personality. The more you spend time with somebody, the more you either like them or maybe dislike them. Is that right? Now, the more you spend time with God, the more you're going to like him. And the more you spend time with God, the more you're going to understand him. Okay? And so the more I spend time in the Bible, the more I know his will. So it's very easy for me to understand how to obey his will. All right, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. The Bible says he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, watch what it says. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. All right, so here Jesus is giving an example of prayer. He's not praying according to his own will, but he's praying according to the will of God the Father. Come on. It goes back to doing the will of God. God, what do you want me to do? I just want to please you. That's all I want to do. It's like a father-son relationship. Every son, listen to me tonight, please. Every son ought to have a strong desire to be close to his daddy. Every son should. Now, I'm telling you, you listen to me tonight, you listen to me well. If you don't have a strong desire to be close to your daddy, it is very hard for me to believe that you have a strong desire to be close to God. Because if you're not right with your daddy, you cannot be right with God. Your daddy should be walking in the image of God. And so, like that, you should be obedient to your earthly father as we are to be obedient to our heavenly father. All right, now watch this, if you will. All right, and so what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to come to him, and we're supposed to ask for his will, yield ourselves to his will. Look at Mark chapter 11, please. Look at verse 25. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. We're talking about that which is conditions of prayer. We're supposed to pray in the will of God. Now we see this, that we're supposed to have, that we're supposed to pray having forgiven others. Pray having forgiven others. The Bible says when you stand praying, Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Mark chapter 11, verse 25, when you stand praying, it says, forgive ye that have aught, it says, watch it, if you have aught, it says, forgive, if you have aught, it says, against any. Now, who's doing the forgiving? You are. You know, it's kind of hard to pray for somebody you're bitter against. It is hard to pray for somebody that you're mad at. Come on. All right. And the Bible says, and if you have aught against any, he says that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. So he said for the same, listen to this, this is pretty heavy now. He said, look, if you pray and you've got aught against somebody else and you don't go and you don't make that thing right, then what makes you think that God is going to forgive you? All right. So it is important that we have forgiveness towards others when we pray. All right. Then prayer, praying in faith. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave, it says, of the sea, driven, it says, with the wind and tossed. It says, for let not a man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. So here's what he says. He says, look, if you pray and you're wavering, you're doubting. You're doubting. He said, then you're not going to receive it. Come on. I've been around. I've been preaching for 28 years, and I have preached on the platform with the best of them. And listen to me tonight. I've been around preachers that will preach a good message, but when you get to talking with them, they have wavering faith. Well, you know, I think God might do it. Well, think what? What about believing? What about trusting? What about stepping out on faith? What about breaking through the wall? What about forging forward? Come on. And to the degree, you listen to me, to the degree that a daddy has faith and he is exhibiting that faith in the family for the children, for the wife, for the children to follow, is to the degree that it would challenge the wife and the children to have faith. My faith ought to be such a public display, not wrongfully like the Pharisees, but such a public display that it challenges my wife and children. All right? And so the Bible teaches here about conditions of prayer. Supposed to pray in the will of God. Supposed to pray. It says having forgiveness, it says, towards others. Then pray in faith. Then just a couple more to consider here tonight. Pray while obeying his commandments. Pray while obeying his commands. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. All right, now watch this, if you will. And do those things. It's presently doing them. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. All right, so God says we're supposed to pray while obeying. While we're obeying. So while we're obeying what God commands us to do, we pray. Now, by the way, that'd be a good thing for soul winners to practice. While you go soul winning, you pray before you hand the tract to that person. While you're obeying. While you're cracking open that New Testament to show somebody how to be saved, then you pray in your heart that they will be receptive to the Word of God. Amen. While you're walking up to a door, getting ready to knock on that door to give a presentation of the gospel, you pray for the people. Now, don't pray out loud. Don't scare them. Silent partner goes with the soul winner beside the door, and they knock on the door, and the silent partner standing there beside that soul winner, and he begins to pray out loud, earnestly, oh God, I pray that you'll help that person get saved inside. That sinner gonna burn in hell, I tell you. They're never gonna answer the door. They have just ran out the back door. Okay, so what do you do? Here's what you do. You obey him as you're praying. You pray as you obey. Then we're supposed to pray while abiding in Christ. Okay, listen to it. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible says, and if you abide in me, and my words in you, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, so God says that we're supposed to live. We're supposed to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. That's why God said, be holy even as I am holy. Hello. Come on, if you have a cup and it's filled with half filled with dirt. You got a cup, it's half filled with dirt. Doesn't matter how much pure water you're going to pour into that, nobody wants to drink it. But if you have a cup that's empty, where, listen to me tonight, where pure water can be poured into that, and you offer that before you take a drink of it to someone else, they're more likely to drink it. Now, that's why Paul prayed. Remember the prayer of Paul? Paul prayed, and he said he prayed that the Holy Ghost would have free course through him. Through him. See, a man lifted up with pride gives a stoppage to the Holy Ghost. A man lifted up with egotism stops the Holy Ghost. A man lifted up because he thinks that he's somebody. He walks around looking for accolades of praise, and he's looking for somebody to pat him on the back, tell him what a good guy he is, good Joe that he is. No, 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 no. No, you can forget that. You think God's going to use somebody like that? Uh-uh. No, he's looking for somebody that he can have free course through. Through. Now, by the way, you don't have to have a high degree of education. Did you know that? You know, D.L. Moody only has 6th grade education, but I promise you he could out-preach most of the fellows that was running around with him. And I promise you, because he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he saw more people saved than anybody else that was preaching around like he was preaching around in his day. So it's not the education. And don't get me wrong, I'm for it. I mean, I've got the degrees. The master's and the doc. I mean, I got all that stuff. All right, and I'm for it. I'm for it. You ought to get as educated as you possibly can. But you listen to me tonight, when it comes to God using you, the key is being completely submissive to his will. And you get all the junk out of your life so that God can work through you. All right, now watch this, if you will. Here's what we see. We're supposed to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. All right, Jude 1, look at verse 20. 20, there's only one. 20, all right, listen to it. The Bible says, but ye beloved, it says, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right, again, what am I supposed to do? Here's what the Bible teaches. I'm supposed to come and ask according to his will. I'm supposed to have forgiveness towards others when I pray. I'm supposed to pray in the faith. I'm supposed to obey his commands while praying. I'm supposed to abide in Christ while praying. And I'm supposed to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. One more, and we'll finish it where we started. And that is, we're supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. John chapter 16 and verse 24, here's what the Bible says. Hitherto, ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive. Now watch this. This is so good. Get a load of this last phrase of that particular verse. That your joy may be full. Here's what God says. God says it's a delight for him to answer prayer. He says, let me tell you why I want to answer your prayer. This is so good. He said, let me tell you why I want to answer your prayer. He said, I want to answer your prayer so that your joy may be full. I said the other day, there was a time I was preaching over here in Alvarado, Texas. And I think this time I had pneumonia. I wasn't feeling good. And I was getting ready to fly out on Thursday to preach over in the Philippines to a huge youth conference there. And I wasn't feeling good. I just needed some loving. And so I said last Wednesday night, I went into that gas station and I said, now, God, I'm not feeling well. And I just need to know that you love me. And I really do. I want you to help me. I need you to encourage my heart. By the way, nobody can encourage your heart like God. Nobody can. And so I walked in that gas station and I said, dear God, I said, would you just buy me a cup of coffee? And that just proves to you that God likes coffee. And I said, God, would you just buy me a cup of coffee? And I didn't hear nothing come from heaven. There was no audible voice that said, Mike, I will. Nothing. I went up, fixed myself a cup of coffee just like I like it, went up to pay for it. The woman looked at me, and she said, oh, you don't have to pay for that. You can have that. And I said, well, thank you. I said, you know, I've got a wife sitting out there in the car. Can I get one for her? And the lady said, well, sure. I said, I'm traveling. I said, I need one for now, one for later. Can I get another one? Sure. She said, just take the pot, take the pot, take the pot. Now, what is that? That's exceeding abundantly above what you might think. Or I asked God for just one little cup. I said, I don't know how many times I've walked in, and my family could testify. I don't know how many times, now not because I don't get down that much, but I walked in and said, God, you know, it sure be nice you buy me a cup today. And God has done just that. Now I think, you listen, that's a little thing for God. That's a little thing. But here's what we do. We struggle and 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 we never ask. You know, sometimes it would be good just to ask God. And by the way, you know what he likes? Let me tell you what he likes. He likes for you to ask for the impossible. He likes for you to step out on the edge and trust him. Boy, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like stepping out on the edge and trusting him. And you know that if he doesn't come through, you're through. It's over. It is history. And boy, you step out on the edge and say, God, I'm trusting you and I'm trusting you alone. And I know that you can answer my prayer and I know that you can come through. And I'm just going to trust you and I'm stepping out with every ounce of faith that I got. And you step out and you'd be amazed at what God will do. You know why he likes to bless people like that? Because very few people have enough faith to do it. Very few people have enough faith to do it. And God is looking to bless those that will run instead of just kind of pitter-patter along. God is still a God that likes to do big things. God is still a God that likes to bless in a big way. But you've got to learn to trust him and to step out. And as you do, he'll prove that he is God in your life.